Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, if they get it right here, the game is virtually over. They line up. They push. They shove. And he clearly picks up the first down. And that should do it.
That will do it.
You know, I don't know offhand, but it is certainly possible that was the game that had the most tush pushes with Sirianni and Hurts. I mean, John, that was a lot yesterday.
And you want to know why?
Because it kept being third and one or fourth and one?
Roger Goodell was in attendance.
There you go. So let me give you the bad news as I see it about the tush push yesterday. I think the new mantra around the league, from league officials, fans, other teams, the thing that they'll take to the competition committee after the season, the new thing, will be it's very difficult for the officials to officiate it.
Oh, and Dean Blandino and got the marching orders.
Yes, he did. Well, no. But I will say this. I think it is hard for them to officiate. I mean, I remember plenty of times last year, plenty of times, where guys were lined up in the neutral zone and it simply wouldn't be called. And you'd only notice, you know, when they showed the replay, that guys were all over the place in the neutral zone. You know, essentially defensively, but also offensively, guys moving early. So that could be... That could be, because, you know, Jen, remember the fumble Ruski got outlawed years ago when they said the refs can't follow the ball, not allowed to do it. So I just wonder if yesterday, because there was a lot going on.
Well, I do think
that could be a problem for next season.
I do think that there's going to be a lot of focus just even this week the next weeks moving forward on the guards being a little early.
Yeah.
That was pretty obvious, yeah. And they're going to take that tape. They're going to show it to the league, and this is going to be, hey, a point of emphasis now when you officiate the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
You know that memo, that flyer, that whatever, that letter is going to go out.
Yeah.
Hey, officiating crews, keep it tight.
Yep.
We are focused on this. It's been omitted from previous, like they haven't called it. They need to be brought to justice, essentially.
And no question. And I'll say this, and then we'll get right back to the phones. I'd like to say it's as simple as, hey, ref, just look down the line. That's your job. Okay. Like whether there's 20 people in there or the ordinary 10 people in there, just do your job and see if someone moved in there. But maybe when there's so many bodies crowded, you know, because Eagles will have often more than just the regular five. They'll have a tight end. They might have another tight end. They might have another. Like, it's so crowded. The other team's got so many guys up there. Maybe there's just so much action that it is harder for the refs to, I'll use the Sirianni word. Remember this one last year, James? To discern what is going on in there. Because it was a mess yesterday. I mean, it was all over the place. So, and that being such a marquee game, that could hurt next year. But look, Sirianni isn't backing away from it. While it's legal, he is going to ride it. And they rode it to victory yesterday. I thought there were a couple very critical things for the Eagles to win yesterday. One was the tush push. Another was Kelce dropping the ball. I mean, we can talk about the Eagles defense playing well. We can talk about Jalen hitting Devontae, and that was good stuff. But Eagles defense played very well. Kelce dropped the ball, and the tush push was a true factor in the game. All right, let's go to the phones. Bat of the Bone Award coming up shortly. And a lot of audio from post-game, A.J. Brown, Sirianni, all these guys, plus the Merrill montage, all up ahead soon. And Ray Dittinger at 7:55. Let's talk to Kenny in East Oak Lane. Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up, Kenny?
At work, working it, man. You know, that's what I do. But let's talk about the game yesterday.
Yep.
So a couple things. I need everybody not to panic, because this is the same thing that we kind of saw last year with the past game sputtering. And, you know, I think it's going to be the same thing. We got a brand new offensive coordinator. It's going to be some kinks to work out. Everybody just chill out.
So here's where I'm at on that, Kenny. Kenny, let me address that. I'm not panicking at all, but I am concerned, as I was last year.
I'm not at all.
Yeah, Kenny, I just...
If need be,
yep, go ahead.
Do you fear an inability to win by going over the top. Like, I know Jalen is going to complete those passes downfield when they get the looks that they want.
I don't worry about over the top.
Dictate, we're going to push it downfield.
I worry about.
We saw that he did that with Devontae yesterday. It's game plan. It's week to week, and it's just a different approach to winning every week.
I worry about the intermediate attack. I think Jalen's got a great deep ball. He always has. And it plays well off of how much teams crowd the box at times to stop either him or Saquon. To me, it's the intermediate game that is a worry for me, for sure. Kenny, go ahead, man.
So what I also wanted to say was I think that they were very conservative yesterday, and rightfully so with Spags, but they didn't do anything cute, which I didn't want them to anyway, because they knew who they were playing, right? So yesterday, Jalen was more or less a game manager, and he's very good at that, and he does. That's what he does. Like, he manages the game on 101 yards, like nothing to cough at. But I mean, they won the game, like, and it's always, you know, everybody talks about the XYZ, but at the end of the game, it's all about the W. So
yes,
it is what it is.
That's
the
right
game. I like that they did not abandon the run. Those yards were earned. Every single yard, just like he said at the end of the game, all of those yards were earned.
Yeah.
But they still, you know, they dug it out and they got those yards. And I think that was integral because they had a couple long drives. But my favorite part of the game, besides the Makuba interception in the end zone, was Jalen telling Chris Long we won the game. So anything you say doesn't really matter.
Chris Jones, and yes, sir, I second that. That was a tremendous matter of fact, Kenny. Let's listen to that again. Let's hear that exchange right as the kneel down's happening. It's Chris Jones talking some smack to Jalen, and Jalen gives it right back to him.
2-0 start to the season. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are about to start 0-2 and hand Patrick.
Kenny, I caught it live as it happened. I didn't know Chris Jones had said something, but I caught Hurt saying it live, no question.
Right, and there was some colorful language in there. I was like, oh, somebody's going to get.
That's right, man. All right, Kenny, excellent phone call. Keep him coming to us this season. Appreciate it, man. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni. We're just talking a lot about the tush push. He gave a pretty detailed answer yesterday on it because there was a lot happening, and you knew he was going to be asked post-game. I'm sure we'll get it in more with him tomorrow when he's on the show at 8:40. Sirianni yesterday, here we go.
It looks like the Chiefs were complaining that a couple of times that the guards were going early. I probably get that from every team, but how close is that, and how good do you get up to get the timing part?
Yeah, we got to be very good at it because, again, like I said, teams are, you know, I would argue that they were in the neutral zone a lot, you know, and taking every inch that they had. They called the first one to back them up. I didn't think they necessarily backed up, but it's, you know, it is what it is. And they're going to do other things to try to stop that with, you know, the way, again, don't want to get too much into it, but they're doing everything they can do. So it's a little bit, you know, there's a little bit of gamesmanship on both sides with that. We know, though, that we have to be perfect with it, with how we come off the football, timing it up, all those different things. Because, we know we have to be perfect with it. We got to get better at that portion of it, of being perfect with it. And I haven't seen the tape on it, obviously, yet of what what they're saying. But, I fuss at the referees at times when I think it goes one way, and I would expect them to do the exact same thing. So, it's just a good effort because, you know, when you're running that play, everyone knows you're running that play. So there's something pretty cool about being able to execute a play when you know exactly what's coming.
You know, it's one thing that's amazing about it, because not only do people know what's coming, they know where it's going. It's going to the Eagles' left side of the line. I mean, it's got to be 90%. It's got to be.
Yeah.
It's a Dickerson Mulata thing, and it is just. I mean, yesterday for the owners that wanted it out, they had to be out of their minds, because I think it plays. I told you guys in the offseason, I think it wins the Eagles, and this is a big number. I'm going to say it again. I think it wins them 2 to 3 games a year. It might not be 3. I think it's 2. I really do. I mean, you know what it almost reminds me of? Turnovers. It's like, you know how you talk about turnovers, the biggest stat in football? It's like the Eagles get an extra possession or two per game. It's like they don't turn it over.
It's the point of having a great goal line short yardage system or play, and the great teams have it. I really believe it. You can just have the one. It doesn't matter. You can have the one. Remember, I've talked about teams that I've been on
sure.
where we've had a lead play. The fullback, you know, just goal line lead, and it was the only play we ever ran, and it always worked. It's just based on your personnel. You find your sweet spot, and yeah, you track that sort of thing. Whatever our number is, 90-plus percent with the success rate. Yesterday, when he was talking about they called it the first time to try to push them back, and then he didn't think they were pushed back from that point forward. They were lined up offside every time. Like, there are people who are complaining about our guards jumping early.
I totally agree.
Kansas City was over the ball every single snap. So, yeah, you can bellyache about it.
Right.
It's a constant, it is a fluid ref officiating situation right now on what is legal and what's not. They need to start paying a little closer attention.
I agree.
In the trenches, because it's the Wild West.
Now, again, it is possible when there's like 16 bodies in there that the refs can't quite see. I mean, that is possible.
And that's why they're going to start using that line of accusation to ban this play.
All right, so, and I'll just say, because I've been on the record the whole time, I don't think it should exist. I'm happy as an Eagles fan that they ride it because they're so good at it. As an NFL fan, I think it should go. I still think it'll go away one of these years, but, you know, we'll see. All right, Bat of the Bone Award. When they win, it's game balls. When they lose, it's blame balls. Seltzer, you know what we don't do very often?
Blame balls.
Correct. You know why?
Because they win all the
time.
They
always seem to win. Let's crank it up. Bat of the Bone Award. All right. Thank you, George Thorogood. We appreciate it. We also appreciate Nick Sirianni and his squad as Eagles got to 2-0. By the way, Sirianni said a little something going off the field yesterday. Wasn't quoting George Thorogood. He was quoting Eminem. We'll get to that shortly. If you haven't heard it, it's something. All right, so game balls. We start with John Ritchie. 4 game balls to give out here today. John Ritchie, your game ball goes to who?
I want to give it to Za'Darius Smith.
He was really good, man.
I don't know exactly what the final line looked like. I know it wasn't spectacular because he's a defensive lineman, but... It was this is a last second change of direction for me, just because we're talking about bad to the bone.
Yeah.
Who was the baddest dude on the
field? He's badass, man.
For the majority of the plays, I was checking him out. I was really, really surprised at, you know, like, this guy came in off the street.
Yeah, he had 4 tackles, half sack, tackle for a loss, quarterback hit, 20 snaps, right off the street.
And fire. Active. Like, this guy was showing, like, when he'd go on the sidelines, he was into it.
And I kind of feel like, you know, hey, 20 snaps, is that enough to give him bad to the bone? Yes.
Totally.
Because this is just going to grow.
Yeah.
His role is going to grow on this team. And I love the veteran. Like, you can feel the knowledge, the veteran. I'm just saying, like, the little things. Like, as soon as a play is made or as soon – he's looking up at the Jumbotron to make sure that the details are exactly as he thought they were. And you can also learn. It's like watching film during the game. Mm. He's watching film trying to glean as much information as possible. This guy is such a pro. I love what I saw, and I expect – bigger things from this guy moving forward.
Look,
because he really is the talented, smart.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And the kind of guy that I hated trying to block. He's got the long arms, and he's, you know, 6'5", 270 pounds, a big dude who can really anchor in.
I'll just say this, and I'm sure I'm speaking for millions. You're watching that guy play yesterday, and you're saying, why the heck was he a free agent a week ago?
Money.
I don't know. I mean, that was
a Lions choice, too.
I think choice, too. I think he wanted to wait.
But a veteran move.
Maybe. And maybe that's what Clowney did. I don't know. Clowney just signed with the Cowboys,
exactly,
by the way.
That's exactly what we're seeing.
All right, Seltzer, bad to the bone. Who do you got?
So, I didn't... I There are two I'm thinking of. There's an obvious youngster who I'm sure is going to get taken. I didn't think he'd be there. I thought Richie was going to take him, but I'm still going to go with the one I was going to take because I thought Richie was going to take the rookie because I want to take him, and I think he deserves it. We have not mentioned his name much today, but and you could really do it through 2 weeks. The way Vic Fangio has come into this season and completely mixed up what he did last year, he has blitzed like crazy both of these games. The defense was the big issue we came into the season. All these new pieces, and they have been the strong point of this team, certainly through the last five quarters they've played, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot of Vic, man, like a lot of new pieces. He's doing it different, and he's finding ways to make it work. The adjustments he made after the rain delay, the whole thing, I just think Vic's been awesome so far this year.
Well said. I hadn't thought of it. That's a good one, James. Rhea, what do you got?
I'll take him, since you didn't, James.
Figured you would. There we go.
Makuba, you know, the interception, six tackles, five solo, half sack, tackle for a loss, pass deflected, but to me, one of the biggest plays he made was that stop on third and one, you know, behind, you know, short of the sticks. Yeah. It was a nasty hit, and I loved it.
Yeah, impressive. Impressive. Look, he's kind of on the smaller side, sort of like Doc was.
That's what you worry
not
about.
Not as muscular, but on the smaller side.
Doc,
but
Doc was big.
Doc was muscular. Oh, Doc was muscular, but he was not height and all that wise, you know, what some safeties can be.
According
to
him. I mean, that,
by the way, he's still so jacked, man.
I had to try to block Doc was him. In here, he never ever felt small as a defender.
But I mean, when he was drafted, people said, this is a small safety. All right, so one more Bat of the Bone Award. All right, I'm going to give an honorable mention. I've never done this before, but they deserve it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 7:35. We've barely mentioned them today. Philadelphia Phillies. Honorable mention, Bat of the Bone Award. I mean, guys, they made the playoffs over the weekend. I know they lost yesterday. Funky way to make the playoffs, the whole thing. We all get that. But excellent job, particularly down the stretch, surging by the Phillies.
12-4 since that Mets series.
12-4 since the Mets series. Wow. They have
and
a shot to get the Brewers.
That game on Friday, too. Like, after sweeping the Mets four games, go down 4-0 immediately. Like, could have easily been like, eh.
Yep.
We'll get him tomorrow. And they fought back. They've done that a lot.
Yeah, no, really nice job. So I know it's been a roller coaster this year, but credit to the Phillies. But if I'm going Eagles Bat of the Bone, I'm going to go to Nick Sirianni. You know what? Let me tell you something about Sirianni. I think he, and I thought Doug was pretty darn good at this. I think Sirianni's exceptional at it. I think he is an exceptional game manager. I think he manages the game, the clock, the timeouts, the, hey, we're going to decline this thing. I know there were people that wanted him to go for the jugular at the end of the first half. I did not. I thought it was the wise course of action.
I really wanted him to.
I did not.
You could have easily run plays. I want to maximize. I want to milk as much possible as I possibly can every last second.
I didn't want to sack.
You can run a play.
I didn't want to sack, take him out of field goal range. I just, I trusted
Elliott.
We can score
a touchdown there.
Maybe, but you could also score zero.
Two more plays, two more opportunities.
And the declining was good,
too. The declining was great.
I'm resentful. If I'm one of those players, I'm resentful that my coach didn't have the
Jalen seemed very resentful.
He was ticked. He was ticked. But as a fan, I think it was the right call. I appreciate that right arm. He's got a freaking Nolan Ryan. Let me throw the flag 30 yards to challenge it, which was, you know, I thought it should have been overturned. But look, bottom line is, and they play hard. They play hard. So, and I do think they're very focused.
And they're mentally tough.
They're mentally tough. I think Sirianni, you know, we're seeing Nick Sirianni coach against Andy Reid. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that says something. And Nick and Jalen and the Eagles squad has won three in a row, and I think Sirianni's a big part of that. I will say this. I wish he had been on at Super Bowl 57 and know they should have had different cleats earlier. He could be a two-time Super Bowl champ right now. That's still there. But he's a great coach. He's a great coach, and I think he deserves it. And that's a Bat of the Bone Award today. All right, let's get to Rick calling from Easton right now. Rick, good morning.
That was funny. When I saw that red flag in the end zone, I said to my buddies, what's that red flag in the end zone? That's the challenge flag.
Well, Rick, you know what the thing about it is? It's a, and I'm sure he's thought about this because he is so detailed. I'm sure he's thought about this dichotomy. If I throw it 25, 30 yards, I can get it toward them, but it's going to be 25, 30 yards through the air. That might take a second. If I drop it on the ground, I can immediately drop it, but they might not see it, and the play might get off, and now, like, my flag doesn't count. So I bet you a guy like Sirianni has to think about which one do I want.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the drop on the ground where it doesn't count.
I think he's opting for the best chance it's seen immediately.
Oh, clearly.
Because you get a longer visual as it's traveling through the air.
Yeah. But when they're all the way down at the other end, I mean, you do run the risk that, like, you know, play goes and touchdown. Anyway, Rick, go ahead, my man. What'd you notice yesterday?
You know, first things first, you know how many games Randall Cunningham had 250 to 300 yards, and he had a great defense, and they found ways to lose those kind of games? I can only hear this station the next week or so. By the way, they got to be good at home. You know the Eagles are the only team in the NFL that don't have back-to-back home games?
Yeah.
They better be good on the road.
Until the playoffs.
So here's my slant on this. Ooh. Petula is learning, and when you have a coach with the pedigree and the swamp foxness of Fangio and Scott Stotland, I have a feeling they can bring some wrinkles to Petula. I know when I coached in college and high school, we all talked all the time, the offense and defensive coordinators. I think the combo of the youth and the experience they have, the experience of Fangio and Stoutland is going to definitely shine through. But they cannot allow a deep ball at that point of the game, because that's what the Cowboys did yesterday with the Giants. You cannot in this league, when you know they only have a shot to win this game or get close, to get behind your D-back, you cannot allow. And that was done.
That happened a couple times, by the way.
Especially after Mahomes misses that throw. The guy was wide. Mahomes, that was like one of the worst misses you'll ever see from Mahomes.
That happened probably two times in three or four plays, which is not good. By the way, that might have cost Peyton and Rick, good call. That might have cost Peyton Manning a Super Bowl because he lost to Joe Flacco in a playoff game that way. And yeah, that is really bad. All right. A.J. Brown's not getting deep balls, short balls, intermediate. He's getting nothing. We're essentially
he's getting it on special teams, and we appreciate
appreciate the
hands.
And he did have an amazing 4-yard catch yesterday.
Unbelievable. But I will tell you this. The way it's going, he could miss the Hall of Fame, which would be a shame, because he is, in my opinion, flat out top five in football. The only guy that is like a guaranteed top five is Justin Jefferson. But
and Chase, I would say those two.
And Chase, But I think AJ is top five, but man, his numbers are paltry. I'm sure he's frustrated. Let's listen to AJ after the game yesterday talking about how teams are defending him. Remember, 2 years ago, I mean, through like eight or nine games, I thought he was on his way maybe to an MVP, and now he's lucky if he gets, you know, 20 yards in a game. AJ after the game on how teams are defending him.
What are you seeing as far as the way defenses are playing you on these first two games?
I'm getting doubled, rotating to my side sometimes. Today was a lot of zero, but most of the time, I still get doubled.
And here's the thing I'll say, because you guys know where I stand on Hurts. I haven't changed. I mean, my basic analysis of so far this year, I thought he was excellent game one, far from excellent game two. I'm talking about Hurts. It's like if AJ is being doubled, that's where you want to see the ball go to Calcaterra, Devontae, Saquon.
Is not very
I think Calcaterra's all right. But I mean, Saquon, like, I mean, you look at the stats from yesterday, it just wasn't much to anybody. I'm looking at it here. Four to Devontae for 53, Saquon 2 for 6, Calcaterra 1 for 6, Granson 1 for 5, Dotson 1 for 4, Metchie 1 for nothing. You know, John, would you say Jalen was not as good yesterday as game one? Because I thought that was pretty obvious.
Well, I guess not. It was a different game, a different day, different set of expectations based on what the defense was giving them.
Heavy blitz.
Yeah, and they were coming from all over the place. Yeah. There was never a there was never a time where they could get comfortable and know what to expect. So they were going with a lot of very vanilla stuff. And, if they found something that worked, they would go back to it. And that was just sort of the nature of the day. That combined with the fact that they had sort of streamlined things, I believe, a little bit because of the noise.
Yep.
You have to simplify it when you just can't communicate certain things. You know, everything has to be hand signals. So you do pull back a little bit on the volume of the offense. So when they found stuff that worked, I think they stuck with it. It just so happened that it wasn't stuff that was flashy and garnering all these stats that you clearly want to see.
Well, it's not about stats. I mean, I thought they played with fire.
Stats.
They played with fire. And if Travis Kelce catches the ball or CD catches the ball last week, they could have had a different outcome in these games. All right,
didn't.
No, I get that they
didn't. That's the point. They win. They do what it takes to win, and somehow they're still not getting credit for it completely.
I give them credit for the win.
It
I'm
wasn't
just,
a big enough win.
Look, I'll say this. Last year, we saw them struggle with the passing game and win a Super Bowl. It can happen.
I would like
to see them not play with that fire again.
Every coach I ever played for said, every game, every single game we play is going to be a point here, a point there. You know, we're going to win by one. Yeah. We're going to win by two. These are neck and neck. That's the
Here's
NFL,
my, but I'll give
and
you
they
my,
have rules in place yeah. to create
And
that
again, it's week
parity.
Two.
No, I
like,
got it.
We put ourselves where we were last year. Again, people wanted Sirianni fired 5 weeks yeah. in the season, and it ended up being the best Eagles team we've ever seen.
We're ahead of where
so just,
we were
I'm just saying,
last
let's,
year.
Let's keep that in mind.
James, yeah. I totally get it. I will say this one other thing. Because I'm skewed in my opinion right down the I'm not skewed. I'm down the middle today. I got some real good and some real bad. I don't think Kansas City's any good anymore. Like let me take it back. I don't think they're good anymore.
Well, just
I think
they
could
play,
be average or below average. I don't
they
think
play
they
an
make the
average
playoffs.
Average or below average. Team.
We'll say. We'll say.
Wait until you see what that looks like.
I'm going to give you Kansas City maxes out at 8 wins this year. I might look foolish in a couple months. If I am, I am. But I don't think it was as impressive a win as we ordinarily would think in KC. I think they are very depleted.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.